Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Today, Jesus compares the call of faith given by the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of the word to an invitation to a wedding feast for the king's son. So also we heard Isaiah describing the life of the Christian receiving the word like that of dining at a great feast given as a gift and for the soul's life. Elsewhere, and as we heard yesterday at an actual wedding, God's faithful people are collectively known as the bride and Christ Jesus the bridegroom, joined together in marital union and living in bliss for eternity. All of these pictures together are a beautiful one of that essential Reformation confession that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, worked by the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures proclaimed and taught alone. Why is that? Because without the Word, we could never know of Christ Jesus. The Word is where He is revealed. Without that Word proclaimed into our ears, we would never hear of Jesus and what He has and is still doing to save us. Without the hearing of Jesus Christ, we would never come to believe in the salvation that He has purchased and won for us. And without believing, that is, without faith, we would not heed His invitation to go to the rich feast of His Word, offered in divine service, catechesis, and daily prayer. Without that rich feast of the Word offered, we would be dead in our sins, malnourished and starved of the bread from heaven, Jesus who gives life. So it all seems so simple. Come to the feast. How could anyone resist? How could anyone say no? Here's the invitation. Good people and bad people gather together from their homes and from the halls and from the schools, even from the bars and taverns, even from churches. Come and eat and drink. Everything needed is prepared. It's given as a gift. Be clothed. Be fed. Jesus is your host, your maitre d', and your meal. This is His service, where He gives Himself entirely and thoroughly for you and for your salvation. It seems so simple. How could anyone resist? How could anyone say no? And yet, if we look back a few verses to the previous parable, which was the alternate gospel reading for this day, it tells a similar parable about a landowner and his vineyard. In that parable, the landowner hires vine dressers to care for it, and then when it's vintage time, he sends servants for the harvest. But those vine dressers brutalize the servants who come. Not just once, but even the second group of servants he sends. So then, the owner sends his very son, who they also kill, thinking to seize his inheritance as their own. Of course, they are deceived. They lose the vineyard altogether, and it is given to another, to other vine dressers, the proverbial tax collectors and harlots who actually believe and trust. Jesus is telling both of these parables to those who will not hear Him, who refuse to abandon their own righteousness and stubbornly insist on their own way and their own kind of Messiah. They cannot and will not receive the vineyard as a gift, nor will they receive the wedding feast or the rich banquet of heaven even as gift, given by the Word alone, by grace alone, through Holy Spirit-worked faith alone. And because of their demand that Jesus conform to them, then He can no longer be received by them in the way of gift. Instead, right before our gospel text today, between those two parables, He says, "Have you never read the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That's Psalm 118, and the metaphor there becomes a favorite among the later prophets and also the apostles. For example, Isaiah says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and whoever believes will not act hastily." St. Paul cites this and Isaiah 8 when he says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." Well, there's the problem. Jesus can come by way of gift, or he can become to you a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Jesus always get in the way of what we want to do, our ideas of what it means to be religious, even Christian, what we think that we should believe, or what we think we can contribute to salvation. That's the conflict right there. And that's why the vine dressers refuse the owner's servants. That's why those invited to the wedding feast of the Son refuse to come. The offense is what our theologians call divine monergism. Everything about salvation is from God alone. And it's by His way, or it's not by any way at all. Everything about salvation is in, with, under, and through Jesus and Him alone. There is salvation in no other name under heaven. That explains the violent reaction of the chief priests and Pharisees. In the verse right before our gospel text, it says, "They perceived that He was speaking of them, and they sought to lay hands on Him." Of course, we know how that goes. They eventually do manage to have Him tried, suffered, crucified, and dead. There's no way into the church through this life or into heaven that isn't by the cross of Jesus Christ. But that also means that you must go with Jesus through suffering and death. And anything that gets in the way of Jesus for you will be crucified and buried with Him. So Jesus says immediately before today's parable, "Whoever falls on this stone," referring to Himself, "whoever falls on this stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." So it is kind of amazing that the beautiful parable of our Lord's gracious invitation, "Come to the wedding feast, everything is prepared," it's filled with such violence. The rest of the invited seized the servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But the king heard about it. When he heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, again, he's teaching us that God will be your God, whether you like it or not, like it not. Jesus is jealous for you. His jealous love for you, His chosen bride, results in straight-up violence against whatever stands in His way of saving you. Be it your own rebellion, that is your sin, be it the sinful world, be it the false teachers that go about trying to preach a gospel other than Jesus, or even the devil himself. Jesus' jealous love for you results in straight-up violence against whatever stands in His way of saving you. And that's a theme that the Reformers knew all too well. They risked their life and limb for this confession of Jesus and Jesus alone. Many of them lost their life because they had that audacity to trust in Jesus and Him alone. Decades of war, religious war, over that doctrine wiped out many Lutheran believers and their congregations. You heard of the 30 Years' War? Lutheran hymnody, then, is full of name-dropping enemies of the faith. You know some of them: the devil, the world, our sinful flesh, false teachers, and the like. All those whose opposition to Christ's gospel actually was violent. Luther's famous hymn, which we sing often, "Lord, keep us steadfast in your word," originally even named enemies of the faith quite directly. He said, "Restrain the murderous Pope and Turk," or in today's nomenclature, the Muslim. In Luther's day, they violently oppressed those who confessed faith in Christ and Christ alone. So just as in Jesus' day, so also in our day, our history knows the violent opposition to Jesus, salvation in Jesus alone, too well. But our Lord doesn't want us to just be concerned about all the enemies that are on the outside, but he wants to warn us as well to be on guard from ourselves, too, our own sinful flesh, which does get in the way of Jesus, seeks its own way, seeks its own Messiah and its own word. So when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away. Cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." As much as he would have you be on guard against those enemies of the faith from the outside, so also he would have you be on guard from your own flesh. He warns you, don't add anything of your own to the invitation, or to the wedding, or to the wedding feast. It's all by Jesus and his way of giving, or it's nothing. That's the final note of the parable, which is a warning to us who are here this morning, who are called, who have come to the feast to be fed, but just as much are tempted to slip again our own ideas, our expectations, our works, our merit, into what God is in Christ alone and gives. So, it is important for us to remember that essential Reformation confession, which the parable teaches us, that we are saved by grace through faith alone, worked by the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures, proclaimed and taught alone. And a word of encouragement. Jesus always keeps his promises. He never stops inviting you. He promises his wedding hall will be filled. He will not come again until the whole host of heaven are numbered. And he offers to us now, even now, an appetizer of sorts, a foretaste of that feast to come. We get to eat, even now, with angels and archangels and the host of heaven, of a rich feast of forgiveness, life, and salvation, now by faith and then by sight. So that invitation still rings out, overcoming your sin, your doubt, your unbelief, even your rejection of Jesus. He says, "Come and eat and drink. Everything needed is prepared and is given for you. Be clothed in the waters of your baptism and be fed with my body and blood." Jesus is the host, the maitre d', and your meal. This is his service, where he gives himself entirely and thoroughly for you and for your salvation. And nothing will get in the way of him doing this. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.